Justin's going to go.
So this is probably a little bit relatable. Under your belt, right? And you're doing good and you're living right, and the enemy gets a hold of you again and you start drinking again or whatever. And like, there's been some times where it was like, yeah, this God really, not that he punished me ever, but I could just feel he was disappointed with me. You know what I mean? Like, and I that's something that I knew, like, I didn't want in my life anymore. God's disappointment, like, it meant something to me. After I got some clean time, it meant like, oh no, like, I don't want him upset with me ever. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And this is where we're starting. This is not where we're ending today. Right, but yeah. Oh. Do you want to? You got to use it if you're going to share, because they won't be able to hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has God ever been angry with me? I agree. Yes, he has. And I can say that because I just got out of jail a long time ago. Recently got out of jail. So I can tell that he was mad at me for something that I had done. And he set me down to think about what I had done, you know. And in there, when I spent 2 years, I became in my book, really, I became in the Bible really hard, you know, and I started ministering to other women in there. And, you know, they started going to church. They started reading their Bible more. And I was getting a prayer circle when I was in there. So I ended up getting released on my birthday, you know, and then I still stayed in my word. So, you know, God has forgiven me for what I had done.
Nice. Tashita, am I saying it right? Yeah. So Tashita and I just got to meet last week. I know we got hands up. Well, we got a youth. I'm going to go to youth. Tashita's was so good, I was going to end us there, to be honest. But I can't say no to youth that want to talk. Sorry. So, here you go.
Okay. So, one time, Hope was, my mom was yelling at me. And I went to slam my door, and I turned around, and I stubbed my toe on my bunk bed. So, I'm pretty sure he was mad.
There you go. Thank you, Mariah. There you go. So, here's the thing. There's a lot of people in the room that if we would have just paid attention when we were mad at our mom, we could have had a lot smaller consequences, you know. Stub toe and turn around, you know, it could have been a lot easier, you know. So thank you. Here's how beautiful God is. It says, but also with one who is contrite. Right? Like we just saw an example. What does contrite mean? Contrite means like, I'm mad at my mom right now, but maybe I need to look at myself, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's contrite, right? It's the humility to say, I think I need to make a change, right? I think I'm not doing it best on my own. God lives with the contrite and lowly in spirit to revive, like to bring back to life the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Verse 16. I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry. For then they would faint away because of me, the very people I've created. See, if God were really hard on us, like we wouldn't be able to handle it, right? I mean, like God does treat us like a good parent would treat like a toddler or something, right? It's not that you never correct them, but they can only handle so much. You know, you can't bring up to a two-year-old, like, you did stuff yesterday wrong. Like that, it needs to be immediate. Like, what's going on, right? You know, like you understand they have limits. God looks at you, and you might feel overwhelmed, but God looks at you, and he doesn't push so hard to like totally destroy you, right? He's trying to do it at a pace where you can grow with him, right? Verse 17. I was enraged, right? This isn't language we always think of with God, but God says, I was enraged by what? By their sinful greed. It's okay when you read something in the Bible about this upsets God, it's wise to pause and think like, am I guilty of that? Because we don't want God to be mad at us, right? And stuff that makes him mad in our actions, like we should pay attention. Like, that's not a good idea. And when sinful greed is pretty close to just like basic human condition, right? Like, this is how most of us act, right? Left to ourselves. God said, I punished them and hid my face in anger. Now, face in like Jewish culture, this is written in, That means like favor. Like when you come into a room and someone looks you in the eye, like if I see Corey and my face lights up, like, Corey, I'm so glad to see you. Like that's like someone's favor. Like it's a love, personal connection. And what God saying is the way that you're acting, like that's not our connection in that moment, right? There's a separation from us. When I was, I'm a dad of 9-year-olds and I got a lot to learn, but I could tell even when my kids were like little kids that I didn't know enough about how to get them to behave the way that was best for them, right? So I went to some people and like had them try to teach me some stuff, right? One of the things they taught me about my kids is like when they're doing something wrong, a very powerful reprimand to like a 2-year-old is just literally like if this podium is my son or my daughter, is when they start breaking something or doing something wrong, is just to do this. Like just to put my back towards them. And just keep doing that until they stop and get upset. And you hear that and you're like, that sounds so soft and so like not the way my dad would have reacted, you know. But the way my dad would have reacted and the way I was first reacting wasn't working. So stuff doesn't work long enough, you get humble to try somebody else's way. So I'll try it, see it fail, probably, right? It didn't, right? Son stops doing the thing he's supposed to not do, or my daughter stops doing the thing they're not supposed to do, and they start to get upset, right? There's something in like a little kid that like really needs that attention from their parent. And there's something about like, I feel mean making a kid cry while I have my back to them for a second. But I was doing it because like that's the way that I could get through to them. And I mean, if you've been a parent, you know, like there's stuff you got to get your kids to stop doing so that they can be healthy, right? I mean, like, you're like, I can't let you do whatever you want to do, right? Out of love, as weird as it sounds, I was turning my back in that real controlled way on my kids. And that's the sort of thing that God's talking about here. It's not about I stopped loving you. It's about I love you enough, like I got to take away something good. Even while I was always paying attention to my kids, I was very vigilant with my ears in that moment, right? It wasn't that I stopped caring. It was that they need my attention to be at peace. And I loved them enough to take that away for a little bit to get them to be healthy. So, yeah, the story we heard is already, I think, getting us there, right? From multiple people, right? Here's the sad thing, though. It says, and yet they kept to their willful ways. Because some of us are not like Mariah, right? And we just realize as we're mad at our parent, it doesn't just take a stub toe to get us to change our ways, right? So yeah. I might come back with the mic, Abe. Look out, right? Okay, so I know. Okay, so verse 18, we're going to keep moving. I've seen their ways. Is God judgmental and grumpy? And like, I can't believe how bad they've been to me. Nope, he says, I've seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore them, comfort to Israel's mourners, right? Verse 19. Creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near. This is something we see a lot through Isaiah. It's this precursor to a lot of the message that Jesus will bring, right? It's that God wants a relationship, not just with the people that have been closest to him. God wants a relationship with people that have been far away. And we, like us in this room, we're some of those people that have been far away, right? Verse 20. Oh, sorry, go back to 19. I think I skipped part of it. Says the Lord, and I will heal them. So he brings up that heal phrase again. Verse 20. This is some rough, these last two verses are rough. It says, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest. You think about that image. Whose waves cast up mire and mud. Let's pause there for a second. When you persist in keeping doing the wrong thing, when you're lying over and over, when you're putting substances into your body that you're addicted to and make you act in ways that are crazy, like, you're doing that over and over, when you're looking at porn over and over, whatever it is you're doing, like, you don't come to rest, right? We've probably been next to a pond or something that's totally calm, But we haven't been next to an ocean that's totally, totally calm, right? It's always moving. And some of us have a heart that never rests. And that's not God cursing you. That's something that comes out of putting bad things into yourself, causes this churn, or bad things are churning inside of you. Verse 21. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. When God does punish us, it's a lot like that stubbed toe. It's trying, or getting us to sit down, it's trying to get us to turn around so we can have a better life. When we persist in doing wrong, we're cursing ourselves, if that makes sense. Like, we're putting badness inside of us that isn't trying to make us any better. It's just trying to hold us down, right? No peace, says my God, for the wicked. So, let's hit some of these verses. One is wicked. I got this picture here. They didn't have a bunch of garbage thousands of years ago when Isaiah was written. But when I was reading those verses, I was thinking about, if you've ever been around a really dirty beach, it's always churning, but it's churning up a bunch of plastic and other craziness. If you've been around it, it's not a peaceful place, right? It's not a, like, oh, let's put a chair out here and an umbrella, right? It feels like I'm either going to be stressed out and get away from here, or I'm going to start cleaning up stuff, right? Like, there's really not, like, I'm just going to hang out with all these old Coke bottles and whatever else, right? When we keep putting bad stuff into our lives, this is what our heart starts to look like, right? It's just churning up junk. And if you spend 12 hours cleaning it up, guess what's going to be there the next day? More junk, right? I mean, like, you by yourself are not going to clean up the ocean, right? And some of us run into this with our lives even, right? It's like, I worked for 12 hours on that and it looks the same as it did yesterday, right? I tried so hard to be a patient dad or whatever it is, and then I just still keep blowing it up. Here's the next word I want to talk about. It came up twice, if you caught it, about healing, right? Sometimes when we're really sick and we choose to go to a doctor, we come with a pretty humble attitude of, like, I'm messed up and I can't fix myself. Help. It's actually a really good way to come to God. It's like, something's wrong with me and I need help. And a lot of times with sin in our culture, or with doing the wrong thing, we think of, like, a judicial system, right? It's like being in front of court and getting punished or getting let off. And that's not terrible. Like, there's some truth to some of that mindset. But there's also this theme a lot in the Bible of, when we sin, we're sick. And not just sick in a way of, like, feel terrible about yourself. Sick in, like, a way of, like, you can't fix yourself. You need somebody to come in and help you. And if you just are beating yourself up over it, like, that's not the way to get healthy. Like, the way to get healthy is to say, like, I'm sick and I need more than I can do. I need to be healed. And that's why God's bringing up that language of, like, I'm going to heal them. I want to talk to you a little bit more about a doctor. I reread a quote today that, or yesterday, that was scary. Had this figure in at 90%. Here's the quote. It's from Canoe in the Mountains, a good book. Okay, Canoe in the Mountains, he's talking about people go to doctors and sometimes they have life-threatening conditions and they need a heart surgery or this or that. But the doctor will tell them, okay, here's what we can do for you. But if you don't stop doing this in your lifestyle, you're going to die. So not just like, this is bad for you, stop. No, you're going to die if you don't. Here's the quote. In a study of those who were faced with exactly that choice, stop drinking or you will die. Stop smoking or you will die. Change your diet now or you will die. It's not a positive 90%. Unfortunately, about 90% of those people that get told that by a doctor don't change their lifestyle. And, like, that seems nutty unless we pay attention, right? We realize, like, no, people see a lot of stuff and they still have a hard time changing. It's not just about in one moment wanting to change, is it? It's harder than that. You get to the spot where you're like, I don't know that I can do it. It's not just about knowing it, right? Here's the question I was going to ask. For time's sake, I'm not going to go around with the mic. But have you ever known the critical change that you needed to make, but you didn't change? Like, I have that story. And my guess is, we went around the room, like, you have that story. Like, I knew better. And I knew it was really hurting me and other people I loved, and I still couldn't quit. So you got your own experience of that, right? We've been in that spot. A couple more things to point out from this verse. Ways is one that gets brought up here, right? About changing our ways. In my experience, when I have some sort of sin in my life that I really am ashamed of and I really don't like, I want Jesus to fix that particular thing. And what I've discovered with Jesus is a lot of times he's in for the whole treatment, right? He's not just like, let's fix that one thing. It's like, let's fix the whole thing. So some of you, you know, you have a struggle with drinking, or you have a struggle with porn, or you have a struggle with whatever, and you really are ashamed of it, and you really want to get free of that, but you don't want to forgive your mom. Or you don't want to listen before you speak. Or whatever it might be, right? Jesus will heal you if you'll start going his way. Like, part of the healing process is taking the steps that he gives you to take. And I can tell you, if you're going to try to hold on to unforgiveness, you're not going to get what Jesus wants in your life. I'm not saying that you have to snap a finger and fix yourself, but I am saying, like, Jesus cares about everything you do. And if you want healing from him, you're signing up to say, Jesus, get involved in my whole life. I'm not owner. There's nothing off limits in my whole life. And Jesus is a lot more concerned about who you haven't forgiven than needles or anything else, to be honest. I mean, he's super, super extreme about forgiveness. He doesn't talk about anything else like that. He's like, I won't forgive you if you won't forgive other people. I mean, it's stark. You don't have to fix yourself, but if you're signing up for Jesus' healing, you're signing up to say, Jesus, help me do it your way. At least if you can come with that, help me do it your way, right? Somebody I love very much, like, couldn't forgive their dad, and they said, Jesus, help me to want to forgive my dad. That's how they start, right? At least be trying to try, right? Okay, here's my favorite part, right, is the contrite. Is that if we will just show up and say, I wish I wasn't this way, Jesus, I want to be better, please make me better, that's what we have to bring that Jesus can't force. He will not force you to bring that to him. But if you will come and say, I'm not okay, I need your help, he will help as long as you come with total open hands. You don't have to do it perfect, but you have to say, I'm going to keep trying to do it your way. Okay? And if you're here today and you've known Jesus for 150 years or however, you know, whatever, like, you still don't outgrow this attitude while you're on earth. Like, I've never met someone that's like, oh, they never need to be humble and contrite before God. I have not met that person. We don't outgrow it. And some of us think, like, I used to be so close to God, or God used to talk to me so much. My guess is you were a more contrite person when you were closer to God. And if you want to get closer to God, maybe you don't have to go back and live in that house again or whatever. Like, maybe you just need to have that attitude of being contrite. And if you're like, oh, I don't know how to do that again, well, do the things that Jesus is telling you to do. I came to small group on Wednesday, and in Lance's group, there was a verse that jumped out to me. I did what Lance told me to do. A verse jumped out, and it was very clear. Get this thing done this week, Jake. And on Saturday, I had an option to get that thing done or to hang out with my kids. And normally, I would have felt all weird about it and trying to figure out, like, oh, I should be a good dad, and I should somehow get this done. Instead, it was like, God's only told me to do one thing this week. Like, kids, here's a movie to watch. I'm going to get this thing done. And there was no guilt in it, and I got it done, and it was because Jesus told me to do that. And I don't even understand all the stuff going on in my life, but I'm going to at least get that one thing done, right? If you're not coming to small group, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying, you're not opening yourself up to the next right thing Jesus wants you to do. And you don't have to be perfect. You got to keep trying to do the next right thing Jesus told you to do. He will heal you if you will show up with the humility to keep doing the next thing he tells you to do. Okay? I had one more question for you, and I've run us out of time, which I hate. So here's what I want us to do. Recently, how did Jesus respond when you came to him with a contrite heart? Here's what I want. Somebody with a really loud voice, one of you, to just get up. Eric, are you getting up? Nope. Okay. anybody want to answer this to save Eric? Anybody want to say, recently, when I came to Jesus and I was humble, here's how he responded. Anybody with a loud voice? Yeah, Cleveland, stand up, man. Good stuff, Cleveland. So, I want to highlight just a couple of things real quick there that Cleveland said. Cleveland talked about this joy came after he went straight to God and confessed what he'd done wrong. If you're like, I don't have as much joy as I want to have, do what Cleveland did. Take something to God and say, God, I'm sorry I did it this way. If you get to the back end of that and you still don't have joy, go talk to Cleveland. Be like, I tried it, man. Talk to me about it, right? Cleveland can teach you something, right? Like, it's okay to have that humble attitude of, maybe I didn't do it right, right? Don't go watch a YouTube video. Like, talk to somebody in the room. Like, I tried what you said. I didn't have the same experience. And try to learn something, right? Here's the very last thought. For those of you who are like, I already had this figured out, right? I'm farther along than this. The very first verse was for you. It said to prepare the road for other people, right? Remove the obstacles. And I got people here making a brick path, right? And I don't know the details of what they're doing, but it's monotonous and hard work would be my guess when you're making a path out of brick. And if you feel like, I do have joy, I do have rest, what are you doing to make it easier for other people to walk that same path, right? You calling somebody that's your sponsee? Are you opening doors on Sunday morning with the serve team? Like, what are you doing to where it's going to be easier for the next person? Because if you're already strong, then there's somebody else you should be helping. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you don't give up on us. I thank you for the testimonies we heard right off the bat. I thank you for Cleveland's testimony. Jesus, you're so good to us. We need your help. Please heal us and please show us your way. We want to follow you. You are the light of life. And I pray for each of us this week as we follow you that we would live with the light of life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.